spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you transcribed under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Rainbow, was written by Joseph Mendel and comes to you from Los Angeles. Our star is Victor Jory.
In many ways, I'm a misunderstood man. Of course, in some measure, this is true of everyone. But there are only 10 generations between Adam and me, and all the generations since, how much time there has been for misunderstanding. If I now speak to explain myself, you must not think it's because of pride in my ancestry, which is, after all, no different from yours, nor pride in my own self, no. I have gotten used to being misunderstood. But I want you to understand the things that happened in my life. For I am Noah, whose world was destroyed, and the world is not yet safe from destruction. To begin with, and you realize that it's not easy for me to say this, people tend to wink when my name is mentioned and to say, if they are charitable, oh, Noah. Well, he was a little too fond of his wine. Well, let me tell you something that happened the day we left the ark. I was planting a vine. The very same vine that Adam took with him when he was banished from paradise when someone spoke.
What are you doing, Noah?
Well, see for yourself. I'm... Oh, huh. You, Satan.
Welcome back to Earth.
What are you doing here, Satan? There's no work left for you on Earth.
Oh, you're here, Noah, and your wife. Your sons and their wives. I'll find work.
You're satisfied with very little.
Beggars can't be choosers. Besides, you misjudge me. I mean you no harm. What are you planting?
A vineyard.
And what will the vines produce?
They will bear fruit that is sweet, which will yield wine that rejoices the heart.
Noah, let us go into partnership in this business of planting a vineyard.
What, Satan? You're offering to engage in honest labor?
Yeah, why not? At least until I find work at my own trade.
Well, all right.
Good, good. Now you go on with your work, and I'll be back in a little while.
Didn't take you long.
Oh, I don't waste time. Here, Noah, put them under the vine. A lamb, a lion, a pig, and a monkey.
I'm not so dull, Satan, that I don't know what you're telling me.
Of course, I expected you to understand,
Before
Noah.
Before a man drinks wine, he's as innocent as a lamb, huh?
Go on, Noah.
And if he drinks moderately, he feels as strong as a lion.
And if he drinks just a little bit too much...
Then he resembles a pig. And if to the point of intoxication...
Then he behaves like a monkey, dancing around, not knowing what he's doing. Excellent, Noah, excellent. You've recited the lesson perfectly.
And the partnership is dissolved, Satan.
As you wish. You're idling, Noah. Get to work. Aren't you going to plant the vine?
Satan laughed. And I work. Now, do you think that after such a lesson, I could be a drunkard? I mean really a drunkard. You will say, still, you planted the vine, yes. I did. I've never claimed to be other than human. But that was later. I will tell you the story from the beginning so that you can understand what happened and why. My father was Lamech, and his father was Methuselah, he who lived 969 years in the ways of God. And I, his grandson, followed, as best I could in his steps, the path of righteousness. But it was not so with the men of my generation.
Who will buy my vegetables? Fresh cabbage! Fresh cabbage! Take your hand away from that basket. Thieves, you have to watch them every minute. Who will buy my... I've caught you now.
Let go of my hand.
Not till you put back the cabbage.
What are you talking about?
You stole that cabbage from my basket.
How do you know this is yours? Do you call each cabbage by name?
No one else in the market is selling cabbage. It's mine.
I bought it yesterday. Let go of my hand.
You stole it.
I saw you, Jockton. You stole it.
Mind your own business, Noah. I'll tend to this myself.
Even if you were penniless, it would be wrong to steal, Jockton.
I said stay out of this, Noah.
Give me what belongs to me.
Yes, that's exactly what I'll do.
You have spilled blood, Jockton.
Serves him right. He was becoming extremely annoying.
My vegetables.
Here, I'll help you. Here. Wipe your face.
You have a tender heart.
You know where my house is. You go there and rest.
And a trusting mind. Where do you think he got the vegetables? Tell him. Huh? Tell Noah where you got them.
From my garden? You're hurting me.
Tell the truth. Where'd you get them?
I found them.
Where did you find them?
In a field. In a garden. In someone's garden.
Well, Noah, you satisfied now?
And there's still blood on your face. Go to my house and wash it.
You're a fool, Noah.
What kind of a world do you inhabit, Jockton?
I didn't make it. And he's in it, too, the little man with the cabbages.
Even the victims are guilty. How can such a world continue?
It has existed so long, it will continue.
Not unless you change your ways.
Oh, come now. Don't put the whole burden on my shoulders.
The burden is on every man.
Noah, I like the way I live.
Then the world will be destroyed.
The role of a prophet doesn't become you, Noah. You're not lean enough.
You will be destroyed, and your children...
Oh, but not you, of course. And certainly not your children. Well, you're not even married. Tell me something, Noah. You're so concerned about the world. How is it you've never married?
Noah, you have never married.
Would you mind, Gabriel, making yourself visible? Thank you.
Answer my question.
Oh, I didn't realize you'd asked one.
Why have you not taken a wife?
Oh, surely, Gabriel, you must know why.
That's neither here nor there. Tell me.
Well, look at the world. Is it a world under which I should bring children?
This is your generation, Noah. You can't pick the time in which you live.
This is an evil time.
Ah. It is said of you in heaven that you walk with God. Therefore, you must marry, so that the righteous shall not disappear from the earth.
How do I know that my children will walk on the same path?
You'll be their father. You will teach them.
It's so simple for angels. A father may teach, but whether the children learn... Gabriel, what if the world is destroyed, then they may perish with it?
They may.
You see? There, you have your answer. Why should I marry?
Noah, I am not asking now. Now I am transmitting a command. Noah, you will find yourself a wife.
Nahama, we are neither of us very young.
It's true, Noah. But it would have been more tactful to speak for yourself.
And you've already learned the first thing about me. I'm not a tactful man.
I'll try to remember. Is that all there is to learn?
No. There's more. I have great difficulty making people take me seriously.
I think you're the most serious person I know.
Do you? Well, that's very hopeful.
I'm glad you're pleased. Noah, this is a somewhat unusual conversation. No doubt it has a purpose.
Yeah. Yes, it has, Norma.
Are you perhaps... I don't know exactly how to say it, but are you courting me?
Courting? At my age?
No, of course not. It was only a thought.
It's only that I have been commanded to get married. You understand, don't you?
Oh, I see. Do you have to get married to me?
No, not at all. I mean...
I know. It could be any woman at all.
Well, I've been looking very carefully, Norma. You are the most industrious, the most honest, the most pious, and, I may add, the most attractive woman I have seen.
No, you are courting me, after all.
Am I?
And in the most dignified way.
See, Norma, even you don't take me seriously.
I'm sorry, Noah. I didn't mean to make fun of you.
It's all right. I'm keeping you from your work.
Oh, don't go, Noah. I want to tell you something.
Yes, Norma?
I've heard you speak in the marketplace, in the streets. I've followed you from street to street to hear your words.
Then you've heard how they laugh at me.
I want to beat them when they laugh.
That would do no good.
Noah, when you talk about God, a light shines in your eyes.
Do you believe in God?
I believe what you say, Noah. And if you want me to, I will be your wife.
Sometimes they laugh, and sometimes they throw stones.
There are worse things than stones.
Norma, I'll be very happy if you will be my wife. And we were happy, Norma and I, and our three sons when they were born. And our house was an island in a sea of wrongdoing and wickedness. Now, in those days, the angels looked down and saw the evil of the world, and some few of them came before the Lord and said, What is man that thou art still mindful of him? And then they said, Tell us if we can go down and live among men. And God said, The evil inclination is strong. Can you live in the midst of it and not be overpowered? But they asked again, and God yielded. And I, being a simple man, was happy that angels had come to live among us.
You promised to help me, Jotun.
Oh, I am honored to help an angel, Shemhazai. Now, the problem is...
Welcome to you, Shemhazai.
What? Yes, thank you, Noah. Go on, Jotun.
Ah, there's so much you can do here, Shemhazai.
I'm busy, Noah, not now.
Noah's very concerned about the world. Sometimes he's even concerned about me.
It's better to see you with angels, Jotun, than with thieves and murderers.
You're right, Noah. There's more profit in it.
I'm waiting, Jotun.
Yes. Now, the girl you say is betrothed to a man?
She won't even look at me.
Suppose the man meets with an accident.
Suppose. Suppose he doesn't.
Well, accidents can be arranged.
Yes, I see. So this is how you arrange things down here.
Well, I've done my part, and now you must keep your promise.
Oh, gladly, Jotun. What was it you wanted?
No!
Are you still here, Noah?
I won't speak to you, Jotun, but to you, Shemhazai. You have been close to God.
Oh, go away, Noah. Can't you see we're busy? Shemhazai, you said you would teach me a spell to kill a man from a distance.
I will. First, you must make an image of the man of wax found in the earth. And you must be sure to do this when the moon is full.
The end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence, and it repenteth me that I have made them.
And when you have said the words that I will teach you, you must...
Listen to the voice!
Oh, pay no attention to him, Shemhazai. Go on.
You must fast for a day and a night, Jotun. And you must be certain that during all this time, you have no roof overhead day or night.
Every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. I will bring the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life.
And then all you have to do is to wait, Jotun.
And it's sure to work, Shemhazai?
Of course.
Why don't you listen? Didn't you hear the voice?
What voice, Noah?
Then there is no hope. There is no hope for a world of men in which angels become corrupt.
What are you building, Noah? Noah! I don't think he can hear me way up there, Jotun.
Oh, he hears you.
Then why doesn't he answer? What are you building?
Well, look for yourself.
I come every day to watch. Has three stories, but it's not a house.
Don't you see? It has ribs, a keel.
Oh, of course. A ship. But how big? Big enough for a whole city. Whom does he expect to take on his voyage?
The question is not whom, but how. He's building his ship on dry land, miles from the sea.
Another plank, Norma.
Listen to them, Noah.
Well, aren't you used to being laughed at?
Noah, why are we building an ark?
You don't believe in me either.
Oh, I do, Noah. I do, only it's so big. When will it be finished?
Hand me another plank, Norma. The ark will be ready when it's needed.
What kind of a ridiculous thing is this?
You're angry, Doctor.
You're playing some kind of a trick.
No, I've told you what I'm doing.
First you build a ship in the middle of dry land, and then you load it with animals. Your oxen, your sheep, I could understand. But lions and then snakes...
There must be survivors.
Well, Doctor, that's what I mean. If you want to go around preaching about destruction, all right, but to act as if it's real...
I've told you how it'll happen.
Oh, you don't know any more about it than I do.
I would say it differently.
Jockton!
Oh, stop pulling it out,
I would say that you know exactly what I do.
Jockton, I felt a raindrop.
Well, go home if you're afraid of being wet.
But you don't understand. It's beginning to rain.
Get in the ark, Noah.
Soon, Gabriel. Soon.
The water is already up to your knees.
Maybe the rain will stop.
Oh, you know better. Get in.
Gabriel, ask again. Ask if...
If you know.
How can I take your job?
Don't hold it against us that we laughed at you. Oh, take us with you. Wait for us. Look, Noah. Our wives, our children are on their knees begging you. Pray.
No, not for me. You know to whom to pray.
We don't know how. Noah, pray for us.
Gabriel.
There is very little time, Noah.
They are men like me.
Not like you. They walked in different ways.
They may change. A man is always changing.
It is too late.
It's never too late for men. And what is time to God?
There's no use arguing with me, no.
I won't leave them.
You're not given a choice. Now, quickly, the water is rising.
Oh, wait a little, Gabriel. Only a little.
Get in the ark, Noah. The rain will not stop.
Well, I don't have to tell you the rest, how it rained for 40 days and nights, and the water rose 15 cubits, and the mountains were covered. You also know how the waters began to subside, and I sent the dove once and then again, and she returned with an olive leaf. It must have come from the Garden of Eden, for everything else was destroyed. But why not a leaf from a fig tree or a myrtle, the tamarisk or the cedar of Lebanon? Why the bitter leaf of an olive? Well, I'll tell you what the wise men say. It was a sign so that I would know it was preferable to take the bitter from the Lord than the sweet from man. Well, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat, and Gabriel came to see me again.
The earth is dry, Noah. Take your family and the animals and go out of the ark.
No, Gabriel, I won't do it.
You are a stubborn man. Why can't you do what you're told without arguing?
I didn't want to bring the children into the world because I knew it would be destroyed, and I didn't want to build the ark and alone of all men be saved. Nevertheless, I did those things.
As you were commanded.
But no more.
You are again commanded. Bring forth with thee every living thing and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
I will remain where I am.
But you can't live in the ark.
Then I'll die in it.
Why?
But I won't leave it.
Why in heaven's name what?
Because there will be men again, and there may be violence and wickedness, and another flood will come to destroy the earth.
Well, how can I tell you what will come to be?
Then let the world not begin again.
All right, Noah. You have received a promise.
I haven't heard it, Gabriel.
Look, Noah, there in the sky.
I've never seen anything like it. What is it?
The rainbow. Token of the promise. Now, bring all the living things out of the ark.
I have not yet heard the words of the promise.
Noah, I wouldn't have thought that you were such a hard
it's
man.
It's not for myself alone, Gabriel.
Then these are the words. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you and every living creature. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. You heard enough, Noah?
I want to hear all the words of the promise.
As you wish. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth.
Now the world can begin again. You know, sometimes in the heavenly regions, the patriarchs assemble and the prophets, and they talk of the old days. Maybe because we were all men once, someone begins to boast a little. To boast, perhaps. Well, on one occasion, I even heard Abraham say that. Never mind. This time that I'm telling you about it was someone else.
And what have you to say, Noah?
I was only listening. I didn't say anything.
There are some who say it for you, that you were the greatest because you alone were preserved of the whole generation of the flood.
It's true, I was saved, but...
You didn't have the power to save your generation.
Well, they wouldn't listen to me.
As Moses saved his generation when they transgressed with the golden calf.
Now, what he did in his time and I in mine are two different things.
Oh, naturally.
And there's no need to measure them side by side.
Then you admit his superiority.
Well, certainly, I was no leader of men as Moses was.
A whole people followed me for 40 years.
Well, if I'd lived in a better generation, I might have been a really righteous man.
Noah? I admire your humility.
Do you? You know, sometimes I think of those days and when the waters of the flood cut off all life except me, except Noah and the ark.
No. Please understand. I don't mean to detract from your merit. After all, you were saved.
Well, I'm an ordinary kind of creature, not to be compared with Moses. But sometimes I think... There would have been no Moses if Noah had not been saved. I was 950 years old when I died. We lived to a ripe old age then. In the years after the flood, I saw the earth replenished, and men covered the face of it. And as men multiplied, even in the days of my own life, there arose dissension and violence and wickedness once more, as I had feared. But the world survived. For the rainbow was in the clouds as a token of the covenant. I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. Even after Sodom, after the evils of the generations following the flood, the world survived. I cannot speak for your time.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Benjamin H. Swig, Vice Chairman of the Board of Overseers, University of Judaism in Los Angeles.
Today, as we stand in the dawn of a new year, the closing words of Noah, spoken in the dramatic program we have just heard, are of a special significance. The world survived, Noah said. And then, with a pause, he added, I cannot speak for your time. No, only we, you and I, can speak for our time. And if we want to see a rainbow in 1954, it is our responsibility to bring it to pass. Grave responsibilities confront us at the advent of this new year. Faint hopes of peace lighten the horizon. The East and the West may meet in an effort to settle grave ideological differences. And elsewhere, in the halls of the United Nations, men representing the free countries of the world are working at top speed to safeguard the liberty and security of all freedom-loving men. We in our beloved land are taking the leadership in that effort. So in my thinking, and I presume in yours, it is for us in America, in San Francisco, and in every other city, town, and hamlet in our nation, to set an example for the kind of a way of life which we want for the world. It is a way of life based on the principles of our founding fathers, a way of life that will secure for every man equality, justice, and fair play, regardless of whether he worships in a church or synagogue, regardless of his place of birth, regardless of his race or color. For each of us, for you and for me, there is a responsibility of setting the example in our daily lives, in our relations with our neighbors, our business and social associates. And so, on this new year, let us dedicate ourselves to the lofty principles that are the foundations of our great democracy. Let us resolve that we will treat our fellow man as we would have him treat us. Let us resolve to judge every man as an individual, not blaming whole groups for the shortcomings of a few. Let us make that our creed for the critical year that lies ahead. And if we can do that, then we, like old Noah, will see a rainbow in the skies.
Thank you, Mr. Swig. Our eternal light drama, The Rainbow, was written by Joseph Mindel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast was Victor Jory as Noah. The music was written by Morris Mamorsky, conducted by Robert Armbruster. This has been an NBC Radio Network production under the direction of Andrew C. Love, who came to you today transcribed from Los Angeles. Free Time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. NBC covers America, and this is the NBC Radio Network.